Okay, hello everybody. We are here at United Orthodox Synagogues. Today is Wednesday, July 12th. And we are going to study Parshat Pinchas, or a small piece of Parshat Pinchas today. And for those of you who are following at home, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting to put the source sheet online before we start. I'll try to remember to do that in the future, but I'll explain everything as we go. If you want to look in a chumash and follow along with us, we are in the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25. And here we go. The question we're going to try to deal with today is the nature of the blessing that God gave Pinchas after he killed the two women, the man and the woman who were engaged in immorality, which led to the stoppage of the plague, right? There was a lot of immorality going on, and Pinchas took matters into his own hands, and God says, because of what you did, Pinchas, I'm going to stop the plague, which saved the Jewish people from destruction. And God says, I'm giving you, God gives him a reward. We're going to read what that reward is and try to understand it. And then we'll also spend some time contrasting Pinchas with Eliyahu. They have a lot in common. First of all, there's a midrash that says Pinchas was Eliyahu, which doesn't necessarily mean they're the same person, but they share the same character in the sense that they were both kana'im, right? They were both zealots for God. And we're going to contrast the way that the Torah, the Bible, speaks about them. I remember many years ago, I once gave a class or a sermon entitled, What Would You Do If Pinchas Moved In to Be Your Next Door Neighbor? And my first answer was, close your shades. You definitely don't want him to see what you're doing, because if he doesn't like what you're doing, he may kill you. So let's talk about Pinchas. So we are on the first page of the source sheet. The source sheet may be available on sefaria.org, sefaria.org. Maybe search my name or search Pinchas. I think it's a public source sheet. And let's just read some of the psukim. So, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim Vayachel Ha'am Liznot El Benot Moav. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the people profaned themselves by whoring with the Moabite women, who invited the people to sacrifice for their God. The people partook of them and worshipped that God. Thus Israel attached itself to Baal Peor, and the Lord was incensed with Israel. Okay, Vayichar Af Hashem B'Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, kach et kol rashei ha'am v'huka otam l'Hashem neged ha'shamesh v'yashov charon af Hashem Yisrael. God said to Moshe, take all the ringleaders and have them publicly impaled before the Lord, so that the Lord's wrath may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's officials, each of you slay those of his men who attach themselves to Baal Peor. Just then one of the Israelites came and brought a Midianite woman over to his companions in the sight of Moses and the whole Israelite community, who were weeping at the entrance of the tent. While Pinchas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly and, taking a spear in his hand, he followed the Israelite into the chamber and stabbed both of them, the Israelite and the woman, through the belly. Then the plague against Israelites was checked. So just when God said, here's how you have to check the plague, you have to kill everyone who's been involved, Pinchas decides to take matters into his own hands and kills these two particular people, and that stops the plague, which stopped Moshe from having to follow up with God's decision to have all the people who were involved impaled before the Lord, and it stops the plague. And so there's a question, so we'll stop it for a second. Yes? They were together. It was a man and a woman.
Yeah, but she's not subject to the same laws.
Well, she was one of the. She was she was guilty of enticing him.
Oh,
And so he was trying to get rid of the sinner and the sinny, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Sandra. Sandra says hi. Okay, so then God says, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. We are on verse 10, Pasuk Yud, chapter 25 in Bamidbar, in Numbers. God said to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aron HaKohen, Heshiv et chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kano'et kinati b'tocham, lo chiliti et b'nei Yisrael b'kinati. Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, etc., he has turned back my wrath from the Israelites by displaying among them his passion for me, so that I did not wipe out the Israelite people in my passion. V'italo uluzaro acharav brit kunat olam. So the first thing he does is he grants them that they will be kohanim. But that's not what we're going to focus on now. We could do that another time. Pinchas and the Bazar, about my wrath, right, that they're going to stay kohanim. And then he also says, Vachein Emor, this is verse 12, Vachein Emor, Hineni notain lo et briti shalom. Say, therefore, I grant him my pact of, here it says friendship, but we know that the word shalom means peace. Okay? So that's what we're trying to figure out now. When after Pinchas does what he does, he kills these two people, he stops the plague, God gives him the blessing or the reward of peace. And the question is, what does that mean? Right? Peace is a wonderful word. But what did that, practically speaking, result in for Pinchas? Right? It wasn't a... well, that's the question. What was it? Right? Practically speaking, what did Pinchas get out of this reward, out of Briti Shalom? That's the question.
Was he Kohen already?
He stayed up.
It says... But that's two separate things. One thing is, and the Abar Benel addresses this, maybe we thought because of what he did, he would lose his stature. He doesn't lose his stature. And separate from that, he's given Briti Shalom. Separate from that, he's given the blessing of peace. Okay? Mine is also missing it for some reason. So what is the blessing of peace that he got?
Personal peace, or does he get to live amongst peace?
That's the question I'm asking. What is the blessing?
I'm asking you to
ask. Right. Right. I have to. Something went wrong with the photocopy of these sheets, by the way. It's supposed to be
double-sided.
It's supposed to be double-sided.
Something's
this
missing.
One has the back.
Something's missing,
my
so I'm going
to
open up the
share?
Sheet on my computer, and I'll have to just verbally share with you what's missing. Okay, so the question is, it's not in there. The rest of the material is not in there. What is this? Anyone want to take a?
Anyway, is the Kohen Le'olam?
I'm not talking about the Kohen. That's separate. He says, you're the Kohen. Done. I also give you Briti Shalom. What is that?
Akarat Toda.
Let's heal.
Okay, so Shula's saying that it is thanks. It's God's way of saying thank you. But what does he get? You may be right, but what does it result in? Meaning, he didn't just say, Yashakayach, good job, thank you. He gave him Briti, right? My pact of shalom.
So God will
so it is in his way of thanking him.
So
that's true, but what does he get?
God will look after him. He'll be a favorite of God.
Kabod.
Okay.
Honor.
Good. A favorite God. Honor. Now we're getting somewhere. Any other suggestions?
Remind me what happens next.
Nothing. They just move on.
Oh, okay.
Nothing special.
The man will live in peace and maybe die in peace. You know, you have to have a nice death also.
Okay, maybe it means a nice death. That's
it's,
true.
It's like
good,
we,
that is important.
It's like we give pasim now, have you met now with pas leshalom?
Right. Okay, maybe this is a Jewish version of the Nobel Peace Prize, which he managed to get by killing two people. That's interesting. Okay. Okay.
When he killed those two people and gave the rest
right, he did save a lot of people's lives. Right, by killing these two.
But then he won't have to kill anymore. That could be peaceful.
That he won't have to kill anymore. Excellent. Okay,
yeah,
excellent.
That's it.
Good. Excellent.
He
explains it in the other pasuk following.
Yeah.
V'hayta lo ulezaro acharav berit.
That's the kuhuna. That's separate. Again, there are two things going on here.
Briti
shalom is one thing. Brit kuhuna is another. Two different word, phrases. You're right. You're absolutely right. He's given him. Yeah, one's a brit. Well then, well, it maybe, but then why not call it the same brit? Why call? Why say I'm giving you the brit shalom and the brit kuhuna? If they're the same thing, you would want them called the same
thing. Why don't you read it like that?
Shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Maybe. Okay.
Which one first?
First he says that the lachena the briti shalom is first.
Doesn't that mean that's the most important when it comes first?
Maybe. What's your point?
I thought that was the way you were
supposed
to read.
Yeah, but okay. So if that's true, what's the?
Well, that's better than being a Cohen and passing it on.
Okay, but we still don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's better.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes, that's true. No, that's true. Because once we identify it, we'll know what's better. Yeah.
Didn't we say that Aaron Rodef Shalom? So yeah. There is something in the Kehuna that has to do with Shalom.
Or maybe. Aharon. Okay, excellent. Okay, let's see what some of the commentaries say. And some of what you said is very close to it. We'll start with the Abarbanel, which you do not have in your source sheet. I'm just going to read it to you. He comes up with the most, I think, straightforward, which no one brought up here, which was interesting. He comes up with the most, I think, straightforward approach. It says as follows, that... let me read it. Shahaya Pinchas b'sakana atzuma im b'nei Shimon u'krovei Zimri sheyamdu alav v'hargu. It's possible that the family members of the person he killed are going to want to take revenge against him. V'yistarech Pinchas b'fnei zeh levakesh anashim sheyelchu sevivo l'shamro me'oivav. And therefore, at one point, Pinchas had to hire... or ask some friends to sort of, like a posse, to walk, to surround him wherever he walked around, to make sure he wasn't going to be killed. And God says, Hinnino telo priti shalom. And what the Abarbanel says is, somehow everyone's going to find out about this, and therefore no one's going to bother him, because if people know that I'm his protector, they're not going to mess with Pinchas. So that's very, right, that's just a very straightforward approach. I am telling you, world, that Pinchas is protected by me. Leave him alone. Don't bother him. He doesn't say, God doesn't say, that if you do harm him, that I'm going to take vengeance. But what the Abarbanel says is that no one's going to come to him, lahashchito, to kill him, to harm him, beyot brit Hashem sivivo lichaltso. As long as people know that God's covenant of peace is surrounding him to save him. So maybe people did try to kill him, and miraculously somehow there was a force field around him. Whatever the case may be, God, the Briti Shalom here for Abarbanel is very straightforward. What would we expect? A guy goes ahead and does something, which is unpopular, and he's going to maybe have to pay the price, and God says, everyone should just realize, back off.
But he took away the plague. God took away, isn't that what?
Yes, but the family members, the family members of the person he killed, would still maybe want to take vengeance.
People would be frightened to do anything to him when this power happened. You know, he does this thing. Aren't they able to associate? Normally, we associate,
right.
Don't we?
Good question. That's a really good question. So you think people would have realized on their own?
He's saying, "Oh, I'm not going to."
He's a special guy.
But they didn't take away the plague. They stopped the plague. The people who had it had.
Right. The plague. No. It wasn't the plague. No, this wasn't the plague at this point. This was God's desire to kill the Jewish people. Right. God says, "I'm going to kill people.
Okay. So
I'm going to slay them.
So
now we're not going to slay them.
Yeah. So that's a pretty.
And then there was the plague was also stayed. You're right.
Okay,
so
that's a big.
That is a big deal. So you're saying that people would have associated on their own, Pinchas killed these people, the plague stopped.
Particularly as they're not that far away from Idlewish.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe the point is that people aren't so quick to make positive associations. Maybe people are quick to make negative associations, but not positive associations. Okay,
Ron,
that is a very, very good point. Yeah.
There's something not exactly right here. If Hashem really wanted to kill or annihilate the Jewish people because of what they've done, he would not have just go and stabbed everybody. He would just one flick of a finger, they're gone. Am I correct?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be that maybe God does things slowly to give us a chance to repent. I mean, imagine if God actually did work in the way that you suggest. That means most of us would, I don't know, be dead, right? As soon as we sin, boom, God comes after you. That's not the way he operates. He gives us a chance to repent. So maybe that's what's going on here too.
But he was frustrated and angry and everything.
Yes.
And that would have caused me to believe if he wanted to get rid of the Jewish people, it just a flick of a finger, we're gone.
Right. So we're, it could
we're
be
not even history. We're not, we're,
right. It could be that God was willing to annihilate the Jewish people, but first he wanted to give them a chance to repent. That seems what's going on here. Yeah.
I think we were beyond repentance.
Apparently not. Apparently not, because we're, here we are.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Having lunch.
Look,
so we're still around.
Idol-worship.
We were close. We were close, but apparently we have, God has still deemed us redeemable.
Well, can I just say something? If he wanted to get rid of, like you say, with a flick of finger, he could, but he put the plague in, so it took time, so you can, maybe he'll find somebody who'll do something good.
Right, like we said, you will find time for someone to repent. Right.
God needs us like we need him.
Why does he need us?
Because then whose God is he?
That's the whole thing with Hashem. What does
right.
he need us for?
Let's, well, he,
because he
that's
needs
a good
to be
question.
God of somebody.
That's a good question, but a little, let's look at this Sephorno, which some of you have, but apparently not all of them have it. I have it here on the computer. So the Sephorno, which is on the second page of the packet, if you have it. Yeah, it's on the back page. It didn't get copied onto everyone.
It's on the back of the first page.
Okay. The Sephorno says something very interesting. Briti Shalom.
You don't have it.
Mimalach Hamavet. Peace from the angel of death. And I'll just read you the Sephorno in English. Peace with the angel of death. We have a similar meaning of this word shalom in Iyov. Oseh shalom bimromav. He makes peace in his lofty regions. I assume that the reference is to the fact that the angel of death has no authority in the celestial regions. That's from the editor. Losses occur only as a result of confrontation by opposites. We find that a result of this shalom peace or armistice with the angel of death, Pinchas enjoyed an exceedingly long life on earth, more so than any other member of his generation. In fact, he was still serving as priest in the tabernacle at Shiloh during the civil war between Binyamin and other tribes. This occurred many years after the death of Yehoshua and the elders who were Yehoshua's assistants, meaning all his contemporaries died a long time ago, and Pinchas is still going strong. Joshua, the book of Joshua 24:26, reports that these elders as surviving Joshua for many years. If, as is indicated by the Talmud, Pinchas was still alive in the days of Yiftach, he must have been 300 years old by that time. All right, so that's what it means. Briti Shalom, you have earned the reward of long life, Pinchas. Because of what you did, meaning you maybe he's saying you risked your life or you put yourself in danger in order to stop the plague and to show God that there are still people who are loyal to you, and therefore I'm giving you shalom. In this case, means peace, rest from the angel of death. That's the Sephorno.
And that
yeah.
would be okay as long as he leads a good life and keeps refining his soul, but it also gives him plenty of time to muck up.
That's true, right? I guess that's the downside of long life, is you could mess it up at the end. Yeah, but I mean, apparently God had a lot of faith in Pinchas. Okay, finally, we come to the Ha'amek Davar, which I think everyone does have, which is on the top of page 3. Okay, the Ha'amek Davar, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He has a fantastic explanation of Briti Shalom. He says as follows. You have it?
It's left.
Okay. Bischar sheheniach ka'aso v'chamato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a reward for cooling God's anger and wrath, Birko b'midat ha-shalom. He was blessed with the character trait of peace. Meaning, the blessing is, now, Pinchas, you are going to be a peaceful, calm person. So stop for a second. Let's ask ourselves this. Why did God have to give him that bracha?
Because he just killed somebody. So him, you know.
Not everyone who kills someone is, by definition, a warmonger, right? Let's say you're a soldier, and you kill someone, and you come home, and you plant flowers.
You won't rise to anger so quickly?
But it was good that he rose to anger here, right? God is blessing him for rising to anger by giving him the blessing of peace.
But how nice is that?
It's beautiful, but why is it necessary?
Because he's going to live a long life, and that's just what I said.
Well, now you're combining the Sephorno and HaMek Davar. No, because HaMek Davar is not saying he's going to live very long. It's just, however long he lives, the normal lifespan, he's going to be...
That is a lovely blessing.
It's a lovely blessing.
I wouldn't think so.
Why?
So many years?
No, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the next one, that he's going to now be a peaceful... No, we're not talking about that now. That's the Sephorno. Now we're talking about the HaMek Davar, who says, you're going to live a peaceful life.
Be able to control yourself is huge. You have to be incredibly strong.
Yes.
So if Hashem himself is blessing you with that, that's pretty awesome.
It's great, but why did Pinchas need it? Meaning, why do we assume...
Because once you've had a taste of
Bar. There you go. This is good. Excellent, Eli Sheva. The Hamek Davar says the follows. Shelo yakpid velo yargiz. The Hamek Davar is saying that he will not be so... so strict and yet angry. Ubishvil ki teva hamaaseh shasa Pinchas laharog nefesh biyado haya notein lahashir belev haregesh az gam acharkach. Because of what he did, it'll stay with him. It'll change his character. The fact that he killed someone will change his character. And we're afraid that he's going to now continue doing this. Not that he was from the beginning someone who was like this, but he wasn't, apparently. He stood up for God, as God says, right? He took up my cause, but now it's just human nature. Once you do something once, it becomes a little easier. You become a little more accustomed to do it. Right? Aval ba'asher haya l'shem shamayim. But because this was... for the sake of God, mishum hachi ba'a habracha sheyet tamid benachat uvemidat hashalom. He's given the blessing that that he was going to always be benachat and in peace. V'lo yezeh ha'anyan lepukat lev. This was not going to be something that caused him to change his character, right? So we have three different interpretations of what the shalom is. One is the Abarbanel, that he's just going to be protected from people who want to take revenge against him. Makes perfect sense. The other is that he's going to be given a very long life. And finally, the last one is that this potentially negative character trait that may have become part of who he was after he did this act is not going to happen. God's going to sort of protect him from this act sort of becoming who he is. Okay. I just want to read a couple of comments from the internet. We have Josh Rotenberg says, the woman was no simple person. She was the daughter of a Midianite chief. That could have also, I think what Josh is saying, that could have triggered war with Midian. And so maybe the shalom is, although that would be more of a national shalom than a
Personal.
Personal, but still nonetheless. Okay. Okay, so now I want to turn our attention to Eliyahu for a few minutes. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I just need to take a brief break for 1 second. Can you just call Ellie and see if he's okay? He called. I couldn't answer.
Okay.
He's home alone.
At home?
Yeah. Okay, I want to just turn our attention now to Eliyahu. Okay, also on the third page, which is a selection from the Book of Kings, Kings 1, chapter 19, we coming toward the end of Eliyahu's career, okay? And Eliyahu is very, very frustrated, okay? And he says as follows. He's on the sort of trek. He goes to a cave. He goes to another cave. And then he's finally in this cave. Vayavo sham el ha-me'ara, vayalan sham v'nei devar Hashem ilav, vayomer lo malacha po Eliyahu. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? And so Eliyahu says, hey, listen. Vayomer, kano kineti lahashem elokei tzivaot ki azvu britcha b'nei Yisrael et mizbichotecha harasu v'yet nevi'echa hargu b'charav v'ivater ani levadi v'ivakshu nafshi lakachta. Right? I've been a zealot for you, right? Which is the same language, by the way, that God uses about Pinchas. Right, he says that Pinchas was zealous for me. Right, so here, God Eliyahu says, "I've been zealous for you." Right, everyone hates you. Right, they've torn down your altars, they've killed your prophets. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. So he says, "Vayomer." God says, "Tsev yamata bahar lefnei Hashem v'nei Hashem ovev ruach gedola v'chazak mifarei karim." He says, listen, he takes him outside and he says, there's a lot of noise, a mighty wind splitting mountains, shattering rocks. And what does the Navi says? The Navi says that God was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a soft murmuring sound. A soft murmuring sound. And so then, he says to Eliyahu, Eliyahu heard this. When Eliyahu heard it, he wrapped his mantle about his face and went out and stood at the entrance, and God again said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And he says, again, I've been zealous for you, God, right? I've been zealous for you, God, so God says, "All right, you don't get it." So then he tells him again. This is missing. I'm sorry, it's missing the source sheet. He tells him at the end, and the Lord said to him, "This is verse 15." The Lord said to him, "Go back by the way you came." And on the wilderness of Damascus, when you get there, anoint Hazael as king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, as your successor. So this is a strange event. God comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Eliyahu says, I've been zealous for you. I've done everything you've wanted. I've risked my life. They've tried to kill me. They've killed other prophets. I've proven that you're God. Nothing's working. God says, all right, come outside. And he shows him all the fire and brimstone and all pyrotechnics. And God says, and the Navi says, God is not in the wind. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. He's in the
quiet.
And then God says, okay, now what are you doing here, Eliyahu? And again says, Kano Kaniti. I've been zealous for you, God. And then God says, okay, go find your successor.
Enough. You can't work anymore.
Why? Yes, but why?
Because he can't hear the quiet.
Right. Because Eliyahu thinks that the way to the people is through this type of zealousness and this harshness. And God is saying, it's not about the earthquake or the fire or the mountain shattering.
No.
Sometimes the way is
quiet.
A quiet, more peaceful way. Okay? And so he makes him find, he says, that's why you have to get another, you have to find someone else. Okay? So that's Eliyahu. Okay? So now the question is, I have a question. Right? It seems Eliyahu puts himself out as a zealot on behalf of God against the people who have abandoned God. And God there tells him to find somebody else. How come regarding Pinchas in our parsha, right, that because of Pinchas's zealotry, he's given the Brit Kuhunat Olam a position of leadership forever. Eliyahu's leadership is taken away. Pinchas is given the Brit Kuhunat Olam, right? The covenant of being a Kohen, while Elisha is removed. I'm sorry, while Eliyahu is fired, essentially, right? This is the first you're fired moment.
He has to find
He has to find his own successor. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the type of zealotry that was illustrated, exhibited by Pinchas, which led to his reward of being a leader, and the zealotry of Eliyahu, wherein he is removed as a leader?
This one was very immediately he killed. It was spontaneous.
Right.
The other one,
he was never nominated.
Wait, hold on, one at a time, one at a time. These are all good. So on the one hand, Pinchas does something.
Right.
He kills two people,
and
which
finished.
We don't see without... Although Eliyahu, well, hold on. Eliyahu, earlier in the book, declares a drought. And for years, there's no drought because Eliyahu said there should be no rain. People must have died. You're right. Maybe he didn't kill anyone with his own two hands. But Eliyahu is very rough on Bnei Yisrael. I understand what you're saying, Shul. It's a good point. Yet it's, I think, mitigated a little bit by the fact that Eliyahu was a very tough customer. He was mercilessness.
Merciless.
He had no mercy on Bnei Yisrael when he felt that they were sinning.
And isn't that
but didn't
cool?
kill.
Correct. That's true.
Isn't
fair
that
point.
A little bit too much godlike compared to what Pinchas did? Like,
isn't Pinchas more godlike? Pinchas actually, with his own two hands, decides these two people should die.
Actually, no, I think that's quite human, actually. But and it was to make a point to the people, whereas Eliyahu just keeps on getting the whole nation.
No, the drought was also a point. The people,
for two people versus Eliyahu.
But the nation was by and large in the time of Eliyahu. Well, it's hard to know exactly how many people, but
people died.
The people, the nation were serving idols and they were not loyal to God.
But he risked his own life by doing it.
So did Eliyahu. People tried to kill him. Okay, I understand. These are all good answers. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit. Okay, any other suggestions? Yeah.
Looks to me like Pinchas was not nominated to do it. He did it on his own.
Right.
Where here, Eliyahu, he was nominated
right.
as a prophet.
Right.
It was expected from
so
him
then you would
to behave like that. He doesn't get a price for it.
But he was
one second.
Kohen.
Now, okay,
Kohen
but one second. That would lead me to the opposite conclusion.
Right.
That Eliyahu, who was supposed to do this, did it, but he's fired. And Pinchas, who didn't
because
do it.
He actually cannot do it anymore. He said, I am lonely. But that goes with a...
So you think he really resigned?
He, really,
he didn't. He wasn't fired.
He tried to ask
uh-huh.
me, or I can't do
okay.
it anymore.
Interesting. Good. Okay. Excellent. All good suggestions. Any others? Okay. Let me suggest a couple of points, which were made by Yoav Feldman, Rabbi Yoav Feldman, who's a teacher at Yeshivat Birkat Moshe, and he notes the following. He says, first of all, Kivun echad nitan lomar v'hu sheliyahu mitpaked kinavi. Eliyahu's original position, appointment, was as a prophet, as a navi. Hanavi poel b'shnei mishurim, he says. A navi has two jobs. On the one hand, he's to bring God's word to the Jewish people, right? He's God's representative to the people, okay? On the other hand, he's also to supposed to represent the people towards God, right? To try to maybe help them, right? When they are cross, right? With God. V'lachein, kasher hanavi pone l'Hashem alamo, hu emor lisanger alehem. When a Navi turns to God about the people, he's supposed to defend the people, like Moshe, right? So many times Moshe, when the Jewish people were misbehaving, he tried to defend. Moses tried to defend the Jewish people to God. It's true that he would call out the Jewish people, right, when they sinned. However, when he's standing before God about the Jewish people, he's supposed to defend the Jewish people. Ach Eliyahu shepone l'Hashem, hu kina'ai neged ha'am, v'tuen shekol ha'am negdo. When Eliyahu turns to God, he says, they're all bad, they all hate you, God, and they all hate me. We're in this together, right? L'chein hu minushal min hatafkid ba'od Pinchas enu navi el kohen. That's why Eliyahu is fired, because he doesn't understand what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to defend the Jewish people, as bad as they get. That's a Navi's job. But Eliyahu's not a Navi. Eliyahu is a Kohen.
Eliyahu.
I'm sorry, Pinchas. Yeah, Pinchas is a Kohen. Right? He has no... That's not his job. His job isn't to defend the Jewish people to God. V'lo amar me'uma'alam. Plus, he didn't say anything bad about the nation. He just killed... It was a local event of the two people. Right? And so that's one difference. And meaning the reason why Eliyahu was removed from his position is because he wasn't doing his job. Right? You're supposed to, I don't know, sweep the streets, and instead you're trimming the trees. It's two different jobs.
But that's saying that Eliyahu didn't know his job description. How could he not know it?
He may have no. I think that's the point. He knew it, but he wasn't doing it.
Why?
He couldn't. It wasn't in him. He was too much of a kanai. He didn't have it in him. I think what God is saying.
I think.
I'm not saying he didn't have the... I don't know why, but he just... did, for whatever reason, he didn't have it in him.
Well, some people... He probably was thought, it's me and God against the rest of the world.
There are people like that. Some people have endless patience, and no matter what someone does, they're always going to be able to react, you know, calmly and give people the benefit of the doubt. And some people aren't like that. And Eliyahu wasn't like that. And God says, I need somebody else. This isn't going to work. Right? Next. Another, he offers another fascinating reason. He says, we could offer another thing. He says, kina'ut eina shita chinuchit lidarot. Zealotry is not a good long-term educational approach. Hi ho ra'at sha'a. Once in a while, when there's an emergency, you could appear to be a zealot. Lachein Pinchas kina pamachat. Pinchas...
One
shot. Ach Eliyahu hafach zot l'shita chinuchit. Eliyahu turned zealotry into an educational program, into a curriculum. Eliyahu chozer pa'amayim al divarav shu kenai. In the verses that we saw, Eliyahu comes back twice, even after God says that it's not about the earthquake and the fire and the thunder. He comes back and says, kano kaniti. I've been zealous for you, right? Connect, right? Twice I did it. It says it. Choser pamayim al devarav shu kanai l'Hashem kineged sharam against everyone. Hashem b'devarav l'Eliyahu. Hashem b'devarav l'Eliyahu magish shedavar Hashem lo magi al de esh o ruach o ella al yidei kol dimamadaka. God's words to Eliyahu are supposed to teach him, tell him that the way to have God's words heard is not through the fire and the earthquake, but through the calm voice. Davar Hashem magia ba'ofen ragua v'lo ba'ofen kochani. God's word, education, comes through calmness and not through strength. B'miyuchad b'yameinu, Then he says, certainly in our day, this is the author now. Right now, education should come through love and not through the stick. Right? So that's another reason why Eliyahu is fired. He didn't understand that kinaut, jealousy, is good once in a while. Like Pinchas.
He didn't understand.
But it's not good that it's right. It's not good. It's not a systematic approach. And what Eliyahu did, he took zealotry and he made it his systematic approach. So that's the difference. The word God, they're both kanaim. That's true. But just because they're both kanaim doesn't mean we should equate them. Pinchas was a one-hit wonder kanai, right? A one-hit wonder zealot. And Eliyahu was a consistent zealot. When it comes to, you want to be a zealot when it comes to your own personal behavior, that's one thing. But if you're going to be a zealot vis-a-vis other people and use that as your educational methodology, God says it's not going to work. You're fired. I need a new.
You're fired.
You're right. And he does burn out. He said, I can't do this anymore. Okay, everyone. So there you have it for this week. Have a wonderful day. Wonderful rest of the week. And I will see you soon.